Hello everyone, my name is Stephen Jimenez, and I'd like to welcome you all to our radio documentary series, Teenage Kicks. In this episode, we'll discuss the topic of legal highs. Legal highs are products with mood-altering properties, which are currently not banned under the Misuse of Drugs Act. I want to try and understand why these products are so widely available in society and how young people can get their hands on them. We first spoke to clinical nurse specialist in adolescent substance abuse, Philip James, to find out more information on these substances.
Yeah, I mean, I've originally worked in Dublin, and when we were in Dublin, I was working in Dublin during the time when all the head shops were open, and there was head shops in every kind of town in the country.
Just I can stop you there, Philip, because I'm 17, so I don't know what the head shops were, and I'm not sure how many listeners would.
Sorry, I'm showing my age. In the kind of, say, 2007, 2008, 2009, there was a proliferation of shops, which were, traditionally there was a couple of these shops selling cannabis-related kind of products, so the stuff you need to grow cannabis illegally, but the equipment wasn't illegal, and so they were selling those, and then they branched out and they started selling lots of other products that effectively mimicked the effects of other drugs, like say there was bath salts being sold and various other things that were basically copies of ecstasy or copies of cocaine, copies of cannabis, so synthetic highs, which are this old, generally referred to as new psychoactive substances. And they were sold because they weren't technically illegal, so they were sold in shops which were open to the public. You could walk in and buy them, and you could buy something that would get you stoned in the same way that cannabis or ecstasy or cocaine would. And they were legal because they simply weren't illegal. And the government, in the summer of 2010, the government brought in two acts, one in June and one in August, which basically made those shops illegal, or the sale of those products illegal. So those shops closed down effectively within a while. What we saw was, because we monitored our figures of how many young people we had coming, and we had something like 70% of the young people coming to our service in Dublin had tried at least one of these psychoactive substances. When the ban came in, we saw a huge drop. They just weren't, nobody was presenting with use of these substances a year later. So the ban seems to have worked and reduced it, certainly in Dublin. What it did happen was that up near the border, an equivalent ban wasn't done in Northern Ireland. So people could access and head over to Newry or one of the towns over the border, buy these substances that were now illegal in the south, and bring them back across the border and use them. So there does seem to have been a longer history of use of those substances, despite them, I suppose, being less used in Dublin. Those drugs, because they were kind of legal, they kind of developed a bit of a cult following. Lots of people liked them, some people didn't. Probably a lot of maybe college towns would have more of them because they would be part of the dance culture and stuff like that. So I suppose you don't know why you always get regional variations and why Cork might have more than Dundalk or whether it would. It's hard to know. There's not very good data that I'm aware of that would really tell us that there's a bigger problem in Cork or a bigger problem in Dundalk, but probably the border counties had a longer problem with it than other places.
Philip, it's widely reported that these substances are bought online. Why do you think it's so easy for these products to get into the country?
I mean, preventing drugs getting into the country is one of the pillars kind of that the government has in their kind of drugs strategy. But I mean, the reality is with the amount of packages that come in from people buying stuff in eBay, like bloody memory sticks, it's very easy to try and sneak in some tablets. So I suppose it's inevitable that some will creep in, you know. And I think that's just a problem, that if enough people order it, eventually some of them will get through. From an under-18s point of view, it's very few young people who are actually ordering on the internet, for the simple reason that parents are going to be curious why their 16-year-old son is going to have a package arriving to the house, because he's probably going to be in school when it arrives. And you also have the issue of they need a credit card and stuff like that, and parents will be wondering what this is on their credit card bill. So there's probably a lot of dealers or college students or older people who are getting it that way. It's not a huge problem, I see.
It was clear that Philip was very well educated in this area of legal highs. I then wanted to speak to a woman who had her own story to tell about these substances. On the 19th of January 2016, 18-year-old Alex Ryan died from a synthetic drug overdose from a substance known as the N-bomb. This news shocked the airwaves of the entire country. We spoke to his sister, Nicole Ryan. Nicole currently goes around schools, talking about her experience of losing her brother, and educating our young people on legal highs and other drugs. Nicole, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
No problem, thanks for having me.
Nicole, could you tell us the story of Alex and what happened to him?
Yeah, sure. So, just over a year ago, my brother passed away from a synthetic drug overdose. He took a drug at a house party down here in Cork, and 4 days later, he was pronounced brain dead. So that was pretty tough. And so since then, because he took a synthetic drug, and there's not very much information out there for young people in relation to synthetic drugs, I decided to just go to different schools and essentially teach them about synthetic drugs, what they are, and also share his story and, you know, share how life is for me now that he's gone.
And this substance that he had taken, was it legal?
It was, yeah. Well, it was an unregulated drug. Like most synthetic drugs would be considered legal because you can just buy them online. There's no real regulation against them.
And Nicole, I'm aware you're going around schools nationwide now giving talks on legal highs and other substances. Could you tell us a wee bit about what these workshops that you have involve?
Okay, so when I go to usually I go to secondary schools now. I'll be doing my first college talk now next month in Dublin, actually. But when I go to the schools, essentially I come in and I tell them who I am. I tell them who my brother was and his, you know, how I make him real, you know, so that they can relate to him and they can see that he is a real person. He was just like them. I then proceed to go into the synthetic side of it. And I tell them about different variations of different synthetic drugs. I do a demonstration with them as well. And I ask them essentially to give me an insight to what they know. Because the problem with kind of synthetic drugs is everybody kind of would generally know the kind of dosage around normal illicit drugs, but they wouldn't know the dosage about these synthetics. So, you know, I ask them to come up and show me how much they would take for their first time. Let's say I do a demonstration with different types of drugs, but let's say I was doing it with cocaine or heroin, and, you know, they'll show me how much heroin they take for a first time, let's say. So they'll take a line, but I tell them then that it's actually fentanyl that they've taken, which is, you know, 10 times stronger than heroin. So then I tell them, you know, if you took that amount, you'd be essentially dead. And they're surprised to see that, you know, they're surprised to learn how potent these synthetic drugs are at such tiny, tiny doses. I then proceed to tell them about the story of Alex and how, you know, I was away working, and when I got the call, the whole emotional kind of hospital side of it. I show them a picture of him in CUH so they see the real impact of it. And then I suppose I just kind of close it out with, you know, how I live now and also the importance of organ donation, because Alex was an organ donor.
And Nicole, up here in Dundalk, I don't think we hear very much of legal highs. But is it still a major problem down in Cork, would you say?
It's a huge problem in Cork, yes, massively. You know, we've had a second death now this year from a synthetic drug again. And these are just cases that are documented. There's a lot of people and a lot of cases that are undocumented due to synthetic drugs that they do die from. But because they're not such high-profile cases, you don't really hear about them. But it's a huge problem. But it's not just a problem in Cork. It's a problem everywhere. And it's not just in the city. It's in small rural towns also.
It's widely known that drugs themselves, the illicit substances, the original illicit substances, are very bad for you if you abuse of them. But these seem to be worse off. Why are these substances even worse than our classic drugs, would you say?
The problem with synthetic drugs is that they're different to, let's say, the illicit drugs, the big top dogs. They have no, they're not experiment, you know, they're untested, they're unregulated. So the first kind of danger is the dosage amounts around them. Young people think because synthetic drugs and synthetic isn't the word, it gives you fake, you know, it's like a fake drug. So therefore, you know, the high is just a pretend high. The effects are pretend and they're not real. But the truth of the matter is they're worse than illicit drugs because they're untested. Nobody knows what's in them. Nobody knows the dosage surrounding them. And they're not tested. Therefore, we don't know what the long-term effects are physically and mentally on people, and they do lead to subsequent death time and time again.
And Nicole, could you just tell us a wee bit about Alex as a person?
Alex is a fantastic person. You know, he was pretty much the opposite to me. He loved life, and he was huge as well. He was 6'7", so he was massive as a guy. He loved to play rugby. He loved to just make people smile, and you know, he never threw his weight around or anything like that. He just did things out of the goodness of his heart, and not because he wanted to be known or any gratitude. He is actually very shy, kind of that way. But he just wanted to, you know, kind of live for the moment and just take it day by day. He never really worried about anything as such.
Did he play any other sports?
No, he didn't. Not down where we're from, you know, we're not from the city, like we're from a small town just outside it. We wouldn't have those kind of facilities, those luxuries. But no, he played rugby, all right.
Do you feel that the government and An Garda Síochána are doing enough to tackle the problem of substance misuse by young people?
Not at all, no. They're not doing enough because, you know, it's kind of seen as, it's been going on for years, you know, it's gone under the radar for years upon years, and now it's becoming a big problem, but we're still not there talking about it. You know, people are still kind of ignoring it. The HSE will throw out a warning when it's too late. You know, it's too late. The damage is done. They'll tell you, oh, look, M-bomb is out right now, but my brother's already passed. They're warning us, but there's another new thing out on the streets now. You know, it's forever changing. Every week, I can guarantee you, there's some new synthetic out on the street. So I don't know why they don't go away and test what's on the street, seize what's on the street, and give people warnings weekly or monthly to say, look, this stuff is out here. And then you also have, you know, I'm not an advocate for doing drugs, but people will do them irregardless of what I say or what the world says. People will try them. When we have, you know, things in college like Rag Week and things like that, they always give out condoms for free, you know, to all these colleges and stuff like that. Why don't we start giving out test kits? Test kits are available online, drug test kits, to determine what's in your drug. That should also be widely available. I mean, there's so many things that can be done, but nobody wants to do them.
And Nicole, you mentioned the idea of test kits there. I'm not too aware of them myself, and I don't think any of our listeners would be. So could you just explain a wee bit about what they are?
Oh, yeah. So they're just like, they're called easy kits, I think. And you can buy them online. And essentially, let's say you were doing drugs tonight and I got a pill of ecstasy. I can pop a bit of that pill into this kit. You break it and you shake it. It's kind of like, you know, if you've ever seen Nothing to Declare, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And essentially, it obviously turns some different colours and like that, and it kind of tells you what's in it. So that way, you know, if you think you're getting, let's say, heroin or whatever, and it ends up being a different colour, then you know that that's not what you're getting and that's not what you're sold. And it can stop you from taking that, you know.
And Nicole, if you could advise the people in power about what way to go forward with preventing substances from being used by young people or being brought into the country, what recommendations would you have?
We're a long, long way from sorting out these problems, but we do need to start educating. That is the first step. Education is always key. If you make people aware and known of this kind of stuff, that it is out there, then people are going to make informed choices. They're going to know the dangers. Like, synthetic drugs are everywhere, and it's so dangerous nowadays because you're only going on word alone. And the danger is, let's say drug dealers buy them online and they're buying them at a 30 euros a bag. They'll sell it to you as cocaine for 100 euros and they'll make a profit. But you'll end up taking something that's going to kill you. There's so much danger with it. And the first step, essentially, I think, is education. Whatever else down the line can be done, might be done. But that's the first thing. You need to make people aware that this stuff is out there and it is very dangerous.
And Nicole, just in relation to the substance that your brother had taken, how did his friends react to the news?
Well, his friends, you know, they're all going through such a hard time right now. We're all still in the shock, you know. We're still in the wake of it. It's still so surreal that it happened. And everybody grieves in their own kind of way and everybody's going through their own kind of thing. It's very hard for them, you know, because they really miss him and he was everything to them.
Nicole, thanks ever so much for talking to me. You've spoken brilliantly. I'm aware that you have a blog.
Well, I have a Facebook page, really. That's where most people communicate with me, either through that or through the blog page. So my Facebook page is Alex's Adventure of a Lifetime, that's what it's called, and you can just find that online on Facebook. And I'm always on that, so I could be easily contacted through that.
Once again, Nicole, thanks ever so much for talking to me.
Thanks for having me.
Nicole, it was very clear that these substances had affected her personally. The tragic passing of her brother shocked the whole country. To get a better understanding of what these substances were, I wanted to speak to a journalist who researched this on a daily basis. So I caught up with Journal.ie journalist Cormac Fitzgerald to find out more on this topic. Cormac, welcome to the show and thanks for joining us so late in the evening. Could you just start off by defining what are legal highs?
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose these days legal highs, they're more sort of known as new psychoactive substances. These would be sort of drugs, variations on your sort of classic types of drugs. Maybe would have been, say, sort of coming into prominence in the late 2000s. So these would be drugs that would have been tweaked somewhat to avoid the sort of the prohibition that's on, you know, your more typical substances like cocaine or ecstasy or anything like that. They first started coming in Ireland in head shops, maybe in the late 2000s. They became quite popular then among the youth, but with the head shops were shut down in around 2010. So the use of these drugs kind of pushed online and they become increasingly popular now among young people and among more serious sort of chronic drug users.
And Cormac, I'm aware that last year you wrote an article which stated that Ireland was the biggest user of legal highs. Could you just explain to us briefly about your findings from the research you did around that topic and why you think Ireland is the biggest user of legal highs?
The article I wrote last year based off the EU Drugs Market Report, which was released in April there last year. And that was a joint effort by the European Monitoring Centre for Drugs and Drug Addiction and Europol, which is the European Policing Agency. Now, in Ireland, that report referenced a 2014 survey which looked at drug use in EU countries. And that found that over 20% of Irish 15 to 24-year-olds surveyed had said that they had used these legal highs at some point. So that would maybe lead you to believe that they are quite prominent. I mentioned the head shops earlier on. When the head shops closed down, the drugs that came with them didn't exactly disappear. They just kind of got pushed underground. Now, among young people, these can be really, really varied type of drugs. But say, for example, one drug, methadone, which would have been very popular when the head shop craze was going on, that got pushed underground and is now used very widely by intravenous drug users, chronic drug users who inject drug in Dublin City, and it's known as snowblow there, so that'll be one form. Other forms of legal highs that have popped up would be, say, a cannabis sort of substitute known as Clockwork Orange, which has been linked to some drug deaths. There's other variants around, so yeah, I think judging by this survey, which is really the only sort of empirical data that we have, they do seem to be quite common. That was in 2014, so it's hard to say exactly how they are and what the state of the situation is now. But judging by that survey, they would definitely seem to be quite common in Ireland.
And Cormac, from your findings on that article, what were the most available substances in Ireland?
I suppose cannabis is widely available, and that 2014 survey I had mentioned did show that cannabis was widely available in Ireland too. But I suppose a nice aspect of the legal, or a nice aspect for a drug dealer, a convenient aspect for the legalized, that they're quite easily available online. You can go online, you can look them up on websites and order them to come to your door even. So that would be one aspect of it. Yeah, I suppose in another sense of things, I guess people would be willing to try new things. I suppose drug users are generally looking for new types of highs, so that would be another aspect of it. And yeah, I suppose just focusing on that, the kind of ease and convenience of getting them if you can order online, the fact that they're kind of in a legal grey area. They're not a lot of them. So, say when a drug is made illegal under the Misuse of Drugs Act, that becomes illegal. But with these legal highs, sort of the developers a lot of whom would be based in Asia, in China. There's a wide amount of factories making these drugs. They're able to tweak it so that it kind of slips through the cracks of legality, and it's a really legal grey area. Maybe people would feel that they're, you know, that it's not quite as bad as cannabis, which would be a known drug, that they might get away with it handier. I'd say there's a variety of reasons, I think, why these legal highs would be used, but in terms of specifics, it'd be hard to say when drugs are there, when they're available, people tend to use them, I think, would be one answer anyway.
And Cormac, I'm aware that these substances are now bought online, which means that they have to come through the customs in Portlaoise. Do you think that An Garda Síochána, the government, and the customs service are aware that these substances are being brought into the country?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they're well aware. In the journal.ie, one of my colleagues did an article quite recently about how drug dealers are using courier firms, that they're sourcing their drugs online, and they're using courier firms, and they're bringing them in into the country that way. The Garda Síochána are well aware, that they're well aware, I think, of the various difficulties in dealing with this type of use. But I think bringing in drugs into the country, you know, revenue does usually, or a lot of the time will say when they have made big seizures, and the same with the guards. But you know, you have stuff coming in, people coming into the country by plane, by sea. There's numerous ports, you know, a lot of this stuff I think can slip through the cracks. It's very hard to stop something coming into a country, but I'd say the guards are definitely well aware that that's happening, and have said, and revenue as well, because revenue and customs are people who deal with seizures like that at borders, and I think they're well aware that it's happening, and they're working to prevent it, but like I said, it that can be quite difficult to stop that altogether.
And Cormac, with these legal highs, the effects of them aren't the same as drugs. What are your thoughts on that, and do you have any more information about them?
Yeah, well, of course, that's obviously one of the kind of biggest concerns among people with these new legal highs. So they're unregulated, obviously they're untested, and like I mentioned previously, they're, you know, they can be tweaking known kind of chemical forms to create a new type of drug that could be completely different. These drugs are being made so fast and are being released so fast that it's impossible really for testers to keep up to determine how it, like that report I mentioned earlier, the EU drugs market report that outlines how, and this is last year, there was now 560 new substances being monitored by the European Monitoring Centre for Drugs and Drug Addiction in Europe. More than 380 of those drugs had just been detected in the last year alone. So they are churning out these drugs, and so when people are using them, they don't know what the side effects can be, and it can be quite dangerous in that regard. Now, the case in Ireland that might be well known is of Alex Ryan, the young Cork man who passed away there last January after he took a substance he thought was a hallucinogenic called 2CB, which turned out to be a lot more potent drug known as N-bomb, and he sadly died of cardiac arrest following that. And this kind of highlights the sort of dangers that are around these new substances when people don't know what they're getting. Now, that sort of line of people or drug users not knowing what they're getting, you know, from the drugs has been banded out a lot before in the past with your more classic drugs. But I suppose, you know, maybe the government wouldn't say this, but in some cases it might be better the devil you know rather than the devil you don't. Traditional drugs like cocaine or ecstasy have been around for a longer time and are, you know, have been tested, and you know, you're more familiar with what exact side effects and what potency these drugs can be. You know, rather than these new drugs, which are completely untested, completely new to people. You know, you hear shocking stories of you know, dosage of what can be taken. If you're ordering these things online, you don't know what, you know, some drugs require micrograms to have the, you know, the effect that they're supposed to have, and people could be taking, you know, half a gram or a quarter gram of that without knowing, which, and the side effects can be disastrous. Of course, this brings it back to that debate around, does prohibition, does the banning of substances work? Like these new highs emerged basically or came out as a result of other drugs, again, these more traditional, not being widely available. This brings kind of back to that debate around decriminalizing drugs rather than making them entirely illegal. Would that have an effect of, you know, regulation and make it easier to monitor these and protect people, I suppose?
Cormac, we spoke to Nicole Ryan, sister of the deceased Alex Ryan, from the N-bomb case in January 2016. What I'd like to ask you is, do you think that there is a need for educational reform in this country? I'm sure you're well aware that Nicole is currently going around schools delivering workshops, but do you think that we need to change the way we teach our young people about the dangers of substance abuse in Ireland?
Okay, I interviewed Nicole myself, spoke to her before for the journal.ie as well, and she's doing a great job. She's sort of translating the awful grief that her family have gone through and trying to turn that into a positive, proactive message by going around to schools and chatting to the students there, telling them the story of Alex. You know, he didn't think that what happened to him was going to happen, and trying to educate them on that. I suppose when it comes to educating people, education is key. I don't know, when I was growing up in school, I remember we got a sort of drug education, but the education was just don't take them, you know, don't take drugs, and that's where you'll be fine, which is true to a point, of course, but the fact is young people are taking drugs. As this 2014 Eurobarometer survey showed, 22% of 15 to 24-year-olds have tried these legal highs. So the people are taking them. So I think the effort that needs to be made is to understand that young people will take drugs. Advise them not to, tell them they shouldn't take them, but say, if you are going to take them, here's how you can stay safer. So sort of measures that people could take would be, for example, you know what dosage you need to take, always have someone with you when you're taking them. Like, take the smallest amount possible. Like, don't take more, you know, unless you feel it. Now, there's certain kind of things you can do to minimize that risk while the message going out, obviously, from should be in schools, that you shouldn't take the drugs. But as Nicole says herself, the fact is that some people are, and say, with the likes of people who have had trouble in the past, if they had been a bit more educated on the dangers, and this goes true for adults as well. Adults are no more educated on these dangers. You know, I know in some festivals, for example, they hand out drug testing kits, so people are able to test their drugs to see what drug they have. Because as it was in the case with Alex, you might think you're getting one thing and you're completely getting another thing. So around those methods are ways to minimize your risk. In terms of it coming into the country, I think just to be aware, I suppose, that, you know, these drugs are coming into the country. These drugs were, you know, spread out across the country when the head shops are open. You know, people were lined up to get them at 2 o'clock in the morning out of hatches in city centres. So, yeah, these drugs are around. People are aware these drugs are around. Be safe, be sensible. If you do choose to take these drugs, you know, be aware of what you're taking. No worries, thanks for having me, appreciate it.
It was clear that Cormac had well educated himself on the topic of legal highs. Another problem with these legal substances that doesn't get much media attention is the abuse of substances which are legally prescribed in chemists and can also be bought over the counter in most local supermarkets. To get a better understanding of this, I'm meeting with Samantha Taylor, the head organiser behind the information and education programmes.
On them, there's also an issue, as well as the legal highs, we do find that there is an issue with benzodiazepines, which are a form of legal drug. But unfortunately, a lot of them are being bought on the internet, so you don't actually know what's in them, and people are taking them. There was a great TV programme on there a couple of weeks ago about benzos, the short name for them, and unfortunately they are a lot more freely around, so we hear anyhow.
From speaking to all of our contributors, it's clear that legal highs are still a prevalent problem in Ireland. I would hope that the education you have received today will make you more aware on these substances, and that something will soon be done about them. It's bye from me, Stephen Jimenez. We'll be back with another documentary very, very soon.